Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this week's episode of Firefly Willows LIVE. Coming up, John and Mildred Lynn are in our studio, ready to seek guidance from the runes, intuitive coaching, animal medicine, and other tools to answer your questions about your life's path. Call in at 646-716-5510 with your question, or sign in and join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/fireflywillows LIVE.
Good morning, everybody. It's Firefly Willows, LIVE, our live call-in show. Together, I'm here, John Carosella, your host, with Mildred Lynn McDonald. Mildred Lynn, how are you today?
Hi, John. I'm doing excellent. The sun is shining.
We have a beautiful day here in Los Altos, California. Sunny California, the way it's supposed to be. And just that bright, brisk, fresh, crisp in the air in late October. It's wonderful. So, for all of you out there listening, it is that time of year. It's getting to be close to Halloween and the wrapping up of the lively part of the year. The full moon is coming up this week. This would be that last great harvest, well, the moon after the harvest moon that leads us into the dark and mystical time of the year. So I hope you're all ready for some interesting conversation, and we welcome you to call in or Skype in with your questions. Mildred Lynn and I will be here for a while to see what we can find out on your behalf. The call-in number, again, is 646-716-5510, and we would be delighted to have your calls and receive your questions. So it looks
now, John,
like we
I
do...
Don't...
Go ahead, Mildred.
Sorry, John, I don't mean to interrupt, but I was sitting here and I was very curious to find out if you're going out for Halloween, and if you are you dressing up?
Well, I did have an opportunity to go to a Halloween party last night, but I was out traveling yesterday, so I didn't go. But if I had gone,
yes,
if I'd gone out, I probably would have gone out dressed as a fortune teller. Just to warm me up for this morning.
That's wonderful. I was sitting here myself, and I believe if I was going to dress up for Halloween, I would probably dress up as a fairy or a leprechaun.
A leprechaun sounds good to me. That color suits you.
Thank you very much. Now, John, I believe we already have a caller waiting on the line.
Yes.
And her name is Carol, and she's calling in from Ohio.
Okay, so let's bring Carol into the conversation.
Okay, go ahead.
Carol, are you there? Carol from Ohio.
It looks like we may have had a little bit of a technical difficulty. So, Carol, if you're out there, please feel free to call in again, but I'll give it one more shot. Carol.
Hey, how's it going? I don't know what happened.
Well, that's all right. We got
anything.
You now. That's what matters. Okay, so Carol. Carol, go ahead and share with us the nature of your question. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the nature of your question.
Okay. Well, I live in Ohio. I was raised in Massachusetts. And I wanted to see if I was going to get back with my ex-boyfriend because he could make a commitment. So I kind of cut ties with him, but we live next door, so I have seen him casually, and I just wanted to see if he's going to be able to ever make a commitment or if I should move on.
Let's see. So you were in a serious relationship with him for a while?
Uh-huh.
And how long ago did that end?
Around May.
And is that when you moved to Ohio?
No. No.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, let's tune in a little bit. What's his name? Can you share that?
Sure. Spud. And I have his birth date, if that would help.
Oh, sure. Give that to us.
10/23/42.
Okay. All right. So, Carol, we're going to see what the cards have for you. I'm going to use my Tarot of the She, which is a Celtic tarot deck created by Emily Carding. It's a very, very powerful mystical deck for me. So we're going to see. I'm going to formulate this question like so. What insight can we give Carol regarding a possible long-term committed relationship with Spud? How's that sound?
Perfect.
Okay. Well, in keeping with this time of year, very interesting. Okay. So the first card I received was the Dancer Princess. And on this card is a picture of a unicorn with a girl on the back of the unicorn, on her back with her feet up in the air, just playing, just relaxing and enjoying her experience as the unicorn crosses a gentle river. And there's a beautiful sun in the background with mountains and trees. And the title for this card is The Gift of Expression. Now, what I receive from this card for you regarding your relationship with Spud and this question is that it's very important that you allow yourself to speak your truth to Spud and that you encourage him to speak his truth to you. In other words, express your feelings as genuinely and as clearly as possible without judgment. So the idea being that you really give air to what you're feeling and what you're seeking, and that you listen carefully to what he has to say about where he is and what he wants. And then the next card that I received two cards for this reading. The second card is actually a major arcana card. It's card 13, which is the Death card. Now, that's perfectly in keeping with this particular time of year. This is the, you know, as we head into Halloween, this is the death of the year. So it's a great time to do what death helps us to do, which is to let go. Now, this doesn't mean that the answer to your question regarding Spud is that the relationship will die. What it means instead is that you serve yourself best by giving yourself the freedom to let go of this relationship. And, you know, there's that saying, you know, if you love something, set it free. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it doesn't, it never was. Well, I think that's the message here. It's have the conversation with Spud. Give him the opportunity to hear your truth and invite him to share his truth with you, and then let go.
I think basically we already had that conversation, what he wants, what I want.
Well, there's a little bit of the cards are encouraging you to share. Maybe there's something that wasn't said. Maybe there was an aspect of your relationship or your needs that weren't expressed that maybe could be expressed differently now. Perhaps not. That's a judgment call that you'll have to make.
Right.
But, you know, and maybe it's just for you to express to yourself what you're feeling. You know, it may, if you feel like you've already gone over this terrain with Spud, then take out a big piece of paper and some crayons and put colors and words on that piece of paper that reflect how you feel, that reflect the depth of your emotion, the depth of your need, the nature of your frustration. Just get it out on the paper. Express yourself about this relationship in a way that is unhindered and honest. And then let go. So maybe that's, I mean, if you feel like you've had the conversation with Spud, then have the conversation with yourself.
Okay. Because he's pretty stubborn.
Well, you know, when I have clients who come to me talking about relationship issues, one of the things that I try to remind people is that you have to decide to love the person who is, not the person you imagine them to be or you want them to be. So can you love Spud, the stubborn guy? Because if you can, then there's an opportunity. But if you can't, you know, saying that you would love Spud if he weren't stubborn, but he is stubborn. So so that's not going to work.
Right.
You know, so these are the tensions that we often experience in seeing someone as we want them to be instead of as they are. And that kind of makes it very difficult for that other person to fulfill your expectations, because you have an idea of who they are that isn't compatible with who they actually are.
Okay. So with that said, if it doesn't work out, which it probably won't, because it would probably take a miracle, do you see somebody else?
Well, let's offer this first. If you can truly, deeply let go, a miracle might happen. And the other thing that I would say, and then I'm going to hand you over to Mildred Lynn for her insight, is that if you can remember, one of the values of doing this expression thing,
mm-hmm,
is for you to identify the feeling that you want to feel, the beingness, the way of being that you want to be in a relationship. And if you felt like it was possible with Spud, okay, then go back into that space. You know, take an hour and sit with yourself and remember, you know, sort of kind of conjure up the feelings of what you want to feel in relationship with someone based on the best scenarios that you had with Spud. And feel that feeling, feel those feelings all by yourself. You don't, it turns out you actually don't need somebody else to feel those feelings. And then remember what those feelings feel like. And know that as long as you can get those feelings, as long as you can experience those feelings in a relationship with someone else, it's okay to let go of the relationship you had with Spud. Because as long as that feeling comes along somewhere else, then you'll be fulfilled. So is it possible for another relationship like that to come along? Most certainly. It really comes down to you being clear inside yourself about the nature of the feelings that you want to have in a relationship. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mildred Lynn, do you want to share a little bit?
Yes, I'd love to. I was sitting here and I was a captive audience between you and Carol. So thank you for that, John. I really believe that you did an excellent job there. And wanted to share with Carol the card that came up for you. I'm using Doreen Virtue's The Romance Angels. So we're in the right place. The card that came up was, you deserve love. So if you'll let me, I'll read the card, and then we can talk.
Hello, you're in the screening room with Firefly Willows Live. This is John. Who am I speaking to?
This is Carol.
Oh, Carol, I'm sorry. I put you in the wrong place.
Hello, Carol.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mildred Lynn. Our studio is not behaving properly. We had another caller. I dropped that other caller into the screening room, and it turns out it was Carol. So I don't know what happened there.
That's okay. That's why we laugh at ourselves.
And we're without our excellent production engineer this morning, so please forgive us with our shenanigans here.
Yeah. So, Carol, what I wanted to share with you is before we came on air this morning, the Oracle cards that came to me to share with others during our time together is the Romance Angels. And as John was talking, what came up for you is the card, You Deserve Love. So if you would let me, I would really like to read the message, and then we can discuss it a little bit. How does that sound?
I would love that.
Okay, so what I would really like to do is for both of us just to close our eyes and take a deep breath and really, really be with our center. And what I like to do, and you may find this useful, is I take my hand and I put it right over my heart area. Just open it wide, just around where your lungs are in your heart, and it has a real steadying approach or a steadying effect. So here we go. For Carol, special delivery for Carol. You deserve love, and you are lovable. The romance angels are cheering you on in your quest for great love by letting you know that you deserve it. As a child of the universe, you're naturally a loving and lovable person. You have a right to be treated with kindness and respect by everyone in your life. If you've had a harsh life experience, you may have blamed yourself and felt unworthy of receiving affection. This card is a reassurance that you do deserve it. You are a beautiful being of the universe, and you're made up of pure love and pure light. And no matter what any person has said or done to you, and no matter what's happened in the past, always remember how beautiful you are inside and out. Now, the card also offers an affirmation, and this would be good for you to say to yourself. Some people like to say it silently. Some people like to vocalize it and hear their voice saying it. And other people will just simply stand in front of a mirror and say the affirmation. And still other people will go outside and shout it. So you can decide what works for you. Here is the affirmation. It's very, very simple. I am lovable. I am loved. And I am loving. And the more that you use this affirmation, the more it will come true for you. It will also help you attract the loving relationship with yourself and with another person that's in your highest interest. So that's what the angels, the romance angels, are trying to share with you. And what I'd love to ask first, Carol, is as I read that, how did you feel?
Very moved.
Okay. And did it impact your body anywhere? Were you aware of your body?
I was aware of how hurt I am. Mm.
So just be with that, because that's a big statement. And when I say to you that you are lovable and you do deserve the best life has to offer, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I love, that I love not people more than myself, but I expect more out of myself than other people.
So if I was your best friend, and I'm going to turn it back on you, what type of things would you do for your best friend? Let's say your best friend was in a similar situation and they had a challenging part of their life to go through where they're trying to make a decision. How would you show up for them?
I try to give them the support they need and the insight and give them what's best for them, but it's up to their decision.
Wow, you're an excellent friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what if I was to say to you, how would you give those three gifts to yourself? How would you show up for yourself? How would you offer excellent guidance? How would you offer support? How would you know when it was time to let them fly on their own? So let's say you were the person you were trying to help. What would that look like? Because I'd really like to be able to give you the gift of being your own best friend as you navigate through this. So let's together, because we always have someone on our path with us or several people, let's try to think of one action item you can do for yourself today to support yourself.
See, I'm not sure. I just know through experience because I lost my husband when I was 33 that some things you just have to grieve to get through it. And
Yeah. That's
what I'm trying to do right now.
Well, if I may offer something from my life experience that's helped me when I've had to go through a challenge, what I found is a great help is nature. Going for a walk or simply sitting in a park with a book. The bottom line is I always go back to nature, and I find the more I allow myself to be in nature, I start to absorb the healing qualities. So would there be a garden or a park or a stream or a river that you would have access to?
Well, a park.
A park. Oh, beautiful. And do you go there?
No.
You got to go there.
I believe the park is calling you. So would that be something that you'd be open to? A little visit to the park?
I would try it, yeah.
Okay, well, that's all anybody can do is give it a try. You could look at it as a little pilot project, so you don't put any pressure on yourself. You're just going to go have a little walk in the park and just see how you feel after that.
Mm-hmm. My sister lives far away from me, but she's always telling me that I should go walking. And I know I'm just one of the people I need somebody to do something with no matter what it is, because I just that type of person.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The animal totem that came up for you, it's absolutely beautiful. It's the butterfly. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with animal totems. Have you ever heard that concept before?
No.
No, well, basically what it's saying, and once again it relates to nature, what it's saying is that the animal world may have beautiful healing medicine or messages for us. And when I was looking at your beautiful life force energy, the animal totem that came up for you was butterfly, which is gorgeous. So what I'd suggest is if you have access to the internet, to Google, excellent. Google animal totem butterfly.
Okay.
And you're going to get a number of links that come up. And give yourself the gift, and this is a way you can support yourself as, you know, being a good friend to yourself. Give yourself the gift of exploring what medicine or healing the butterfly has for you. And as you're walking, don't be surprised if you see a butterfly show up in some form, because sometimes that happens.
And, Carol, I also received an animal totem on your behalf as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the vulture. Now, The vulture is a very misunderstood bird, and as a consequence, its animal medicine is also misunderstood. But the vulture, think about, have you ever seen a vulture in the sky?
No.
Okay. The vulture is the bird that soars with almost no effort. They circle and circle on the updrafts, the heat rising off the earth. They expend almost no energy in their soaring. And they're associated with purification and change and letting go. So I think Mildred Lynn's got you closer to the ground in seeing the butterfly. And as you investigate the nature of the butterfly medicine, I think you'll be delighted by what you find. But there's another side to this coin, which is, in order for you to soar, there's a process of letting go and of releasing. And as you mentioned, you were a widow. I haven't suffered the loss of a mate, so I don't know what it feels like. But I can imagine that there's a deep wound and a deep sadness associated with that, that perhaps now, in this time, it's the opportunity for you to let that go so that you can feel lighter and so that you can soar the way the vulture soars, effortlessly.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I'm not sure if I completely got over my husband, and it's been 22 years, but I really didn't have time to grieve because the kids were 3 and 7, so I had to work 2 full-time jobs.
Yeah, that's very challenging.
You know, I thought that I had grieved it out, but maybe not. Maybe this relationship that hasn't worked out, I'm getting the loss with that.
Yeah,
misunderstanding at the loss with my husband.
Mm-hmm. So the gift of expression could very, very easily be the giving yourself the gift to grieve over that loss in a way that you've not been able to before, especially since it was coupled with the death card.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that straightforward. It's like, yeah, you need to give yourself the gift of expressing your grief over a death that you never really had the chance to grieve.
Because actually, this is the first time that I've had, I guess, and this is why I'm kind of so lost too, because I didn't really have time for a social life or anything, because I was raising kids and working, and now my kids are grown, so I'm just kind of lost.
Well, part of that, you know, part of the opportunity now is for you to, you know, and this is the butterfly totem too. It's for you to give birth one last time, and that is to give birth to yourself as an adult that is independent and full and free, so that you can experience life for you.
And what was that website again? Animal.
If you did a Google search,
uh-huh.
just type in animal, that's the
mm-hmm.
first word, and the second word is totem, TOTEM,
okay.
And then type in butterfly.
Okay.
And then you could also try out animal totem, and then the next word is vulture, as John was sharing.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do have something funny that came in for you. It's a little piece of inspiration or intuition or whatever you'd like to call it. And are you musical, Carol?
I love to listen to music.
Okay, well, the song that came in for you to listen to, for your consideration, is Islands in the Stream by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, you are not serious.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs.
So you could access that through YouTube, I'm sure. Are you familiar with YouTube?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if you typed in YouTube, Islands in the Stream, I'm sure something will come up for you. And where that came from is I was asking for inspiration in terms of when you listen to that song, it uplifts you. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting because the person that Carol could attract into her life that would make her feel really good about herself and really fulfilled and optimistic would be in the same vibration as that song. So if it was me, I would listen to the song and I would say, yes, that is the type of relationship I want to have. That is my benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense on some level?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Carol, since it is one of your favorite songs,
mm-hmm.
you should sing it too, because that will amplify the vibration. It really will. I mean, if you even hum it, just practice expressing yourself. This expression mm-hmm. is so important. The self-expression is so important. So, you know, sing in the car, sing in the shower, sing in the park. And the you know, as Mildred Lynn points out, that vibration, the vibration of that song, as you sing it in your own body, will amplify the opportunity and the nurturing that's possible through it.
Okay. And I think one of the reasons why it's one of my favorite songs, because I love the meaning behind it.
Yes, exactly. That's where your inner wisdom is coming out. And one more thing I'd like to offer, Carol, for your consideration, and this, I was looking at Celtic cards, Celtic messages, and what came up for you also is to surround yourself by like-minded people, meaning like-minded people, people who have your highest interest in their, they're holding their highest interest of you in their hearts. So is there anybody like that in your life that you feel really, really gets you, really cares for you, and that is positive?
My best friend, Cheryl.
Okay, all right. So that's the other thing that's coming up. This is a time to nurture those relationships, let yourself be nurtured, because you're going to, just like the butterfly, you're going to be blossoming.
Okay.
How's that? How's that?
I can't wait for it to happen.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that, John?
I think Carol's going to be heading down the right track.
Yeah.
Sing that song, girl. Sing that song.
I'll sing it with you.
I will sing it when there's nobody else around because they've run the other way.
That's all right, because you're really singing it for yourself. So that's the best audience of all.
Mm-hmm. And that singing is not one of the gifts that God gave me.
Oh, I don't believe that for a minute.
Oh, I do.
Well, just give yourself self-expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the only other thing that I have that came up, Carol, is purple, the color purple. So you may find that surrounding yourself with things in that color scheme will give you strength.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, what we want to do is get everything we can working for us. And also to start to look at maybe music or animals or colors or nature as tools, healing tools that you can use or anybody can use to bring them closer to happiness and fulfillment.
Okay.
Hmm.
Maybe I'll paint my living room purple.
Why not?
That sounds great.
Why not? And we know what music we'll have on in the back background too.
Because I've been wanting to paint it, so maybe purple is the perfect color.
Maybe. Well, it's coming up strong for you, so the vibration of the color purple will give you strength.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Donna Mildred, and I will definitely take your wisdom and use it, and hopefully it will get me where I need to be.
Yeah. Well, we encourage you, and we're delighted that you called.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
And Carol, you can always, we shared a lot of information, and you can always hear that, just replay the show, and you'll get all your goodies.
Okay. All right. Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Carol.
Thank
Have a great
you.
Weekend.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, Mildred Lynn, why don't we take a short break and play one of our public service announcements?
Certainly.
All right, so we'll be right back.
Firefly Willows LIVE is proud to support Cimarron Sanctuary, a nonprofit organization where magic happens for horses and kids. Founded in 2010 and located in Petaluma, California, Cimarron Sanctuary provides a venue for assisting horses in need and facilitating the magic of horse and human communication. Cimarron Sanctuary takes in horses who need a home and or a purpose, rescue horses, and adopts them until they can be placed in a permanent home or provides a lifelong home for them in the sanctuary. Their volunteers donate their time, energy, skills, and caring for the benefit of the horses and the kids of all ages who visit the sanctuary. What happens is magical and results in personal transformation for both the horses and the humans. A beautiful handshake across both sides of the fence. Find them at CimarronSanctuary.org. That's spelled CimarronSanctuary.org. Or email them at info@CimarronSanctuary.org. Donations to help the horses can be made online at CimarronSanctuary.org/donate. This tip of the week from Cimarron Sanctuary. Did you know that the change of seasons and weather temperatures can create stress and uneasiness for some horses and cause them to have an upset stomach? It's helpful to keep a sack of red wheat bran in the barn. Mixing the red wheat bran with lots of warm water will create a bran mash to ease an upset stomach. Store the red wheat bran safely from insects and mice in a metal garbage can.
And we're back. So, you know, I love this time of year. It is this Halloween time, this closing of the year in the Celtic wheel. It's the Feast of Samhain. And I like to think at this time of year, I like to think about all the different aspects of my life that can do with a deep cleaning, a deep cleansing, a letting go. And, you know, sometimes we don't always fully understand what letting go is and how to do it. And I think I've done my spiritual work, I've gotten some lessons on this. And, you know, like in my last show, the show last week, Convergence last week, I talked quite a bit about the nature of death and death as a spiritual teacher, as an ally. And I just thought it might be useful, because it is getting close to Halloween, to remind folks of the power that comes from fully letting go, and maybe just a little reminder on how to do that. To really fully let go of something, you have to feel what it feels like inside you, feel what it feels like to be in the presence of that thing, whether it's a bunch of books on a bookshelf that you are very fond of, but you really need to clear away to make room, or perhaps it's a hobby that you're going to, that you just don't do anymore, and you have all this stuff that is associated with your hobby, and you haven't used it in a long time. and you want to make space for it in your life, perhaps because you want to take up a new hobby. I mean, for example, I have a whole bunch of winemaking equipment. I used to make wine all the time, but I very rarely drink wine anymore, and so I very rarely make it, but I still have all this old winemaking stuff. And I think, you know, there's two things wrong with that. One is it's taking up space in my house. And the other is that it's not doing its work in the world. So there's really, you know, it's like stuck energy. And the way I found the best way to let go of this kind of stuff is to be in the presence of that, of all that stuff. So in this case, it's the winemaking equipment and the yeast that's still in the refrigerator and the feeling that I used to have from making wine. And sit with it and just keep letting it go until there's no energy left. There's no charge on any of the experiences or items or memories of winemaking. So that I don't have any feeling or opinion or anxiety or energy around it. It's like making sure the battery charges is discharged all the way down to empty. And when it's discharged all the way down to empty, then you can safely and conclusively let it go. And that really is a teaching that I received from death. It's this idea that as long as there's still energy in it, it's not gone. And so the exercise of bringing something down to the state of inertness, complete stillness, coldness, that's when you can be free of it. So that's just a little thought as we head into Halloween and the Celtic festival of Samhain. And maybe that'll help you. Mildred Lynn, we're looking for callers. Let's invite our audience to call in again. That number is 646-716-5510. 646-716-5510. Our lines are open, and we'd be happy to take your call. Mildred Lynn, what are you feeling at this time of year as we head into the darkest part of the year?
I loved listening to what you had to say. What really came up for me as you spoke about letting go and letting go of wine making because it's no longer relevant is, does your internal structure support your external structure? So I'd love to share with our audience my personal experience. And John, please feel free to pop in there if you have a comment. About a year ago, I stopped watching TV. And the reason I stopped this is that I found the messages and some of the TV programming to be upsetting for me. In fact, it insulted my sensibilities. So I decided, well, what would life look like without TV? Now, at the time, I was not in tune enough with this concept to really step back one step further and say, for some reason, this external peace, which is the TV, is not supporting who I am internally. Now I know this year that I can ask that question. And I'd also invite our listeners to ask themselves that question. How is your internal structure and external structure supporting each other? So do you want to know what happened a year later? John?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't even miss it. I don't even miss TV.
So what is it? What did you shift in your internal structure?
Well, my internal structure was solid. What was happening is when I would look at the external stimulus, which would have been TV and the like, it would cause a disharmony in me, and I'd get irritated at the TV. So when I went, when it would be, you know, you'd sit down, you'd turn on the TV, and you're looking for some entertainment or a pleasurable experience, I would end up getting irritated and distracted.
Mm.
So, and when I tell people this experience, the first question that always comes to the forefront is, oh my God, I could never give up TV. What would I do in the evenings? How do you manage that? So I would love to share how I manage it.
Please do.
Well, actually what managed it is that other things started to come in, more enjoyable things. If I wanted to watch a movie, then I would simply go to Netflix, and it would be a treat rather than a habit of sitting down in the evening maybe for half an hour or an hour and flicking through channels. I started to go to bed earlier, and this has been fabulous because by going to bed earlier, I started to become more in tune with the rhythms of nature.
Oh, that's excellent.
And so I found that my sleep was of a richer quality. I found that I felt refreshed in the morning. And I found that the little stories that go round and round in your head, probably prompted by what you've watched on TV the night before, completely went away. And I guess you could say it's the closest to counting sheep I've ever come to. Everything in sleepland is cloud-filled and fluffy. The main thing is I wake up now feeling refreshed.
So it's not watching television, giving up television has improved the quality of your sleep.
Improved the quality of my sleep and my overall functioning of my body.
That's fantastic.
Because I don't have things going around in my head that are not relevant to me and that don't make me irritable. So naturally, that energetic healing, energetic vibration is going to translate into the quality of my body, the health of my body.
Right.
So I don't know. Do you still watch TV?
I do. It's kind of a social thing for me more than it is. You know, like I think there's only one television show that I actively seek out, and the rest of it is because, you know, that's kind of what the family is doing. And of course, I like to watch movies, and I like to watch my New York Giants playing football. But that's,
now,
really only one television show that I seek out.
Yeah. The other benefit that I found in terms of entertainment is I started to seek my entertainment experiences in other places, in the real world rather than in the virtual world. So I would find myself having more cups of tea with people. I found myself going for more walks with people. I found myself going out now more to meet friends, and I found more meeting in community. So that's all starting to balance itself in my life. And I find it's very rich, very rewarding, and also feeling very connected.
So this is actually a really, I'm sure that many people who are listening might want a few tips on how to actually bridge this gap between their current habits,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
which include
so
a lot
right.
of television watching, and what
yeah.
you've accomplished. So
yeah.
share maybe a little bit more about the consciousness, the conscious choices that you made to reduce or eliminate television as part of your evening habit.
Well, what I did is I took this little pilot project or experiment went so well, I applied it to different areas in my life, and I came up with five questions that I'd love to share with our listeners that they can ask themselves when working in this space. And the first question was, why do I watch TV? That was my first question. And remember, these are transferable to other areas in your life, such as, why do I have so many clothes in my closet? Or why do I have junk food in my cupboard? So it's the, why do I have this? So the second question is, where did I get this? Where did I get this habit from? Is it something that I've absorbed or integrated into my person because everybody else is doing it? Or is it something that is truly unique to me and supports my life force energy? So question number two is, where did I get this? And question number three for our listeners is, what does this mean to me? So what does this mean to me? An example of that would be, we as human beings have free choice to determine what anything means to us. That's one thing that we have. So what does television mean? Or what does this chair sitting in the room? Or what does this junk food mean? So inviting our listeners to go one step backwards. It's here. Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
So let's push on that just a little bit maybe.
Okay.
When you say, what does it mean? Does it, are you, explain that question a little bit more. Like, because is it, what does it mean to me? Is it, what does it mean in its presence here in my life? Where are we going with that one? Because that might be a little.
Yeah, it's always a very powerful question if we hit the nail on the head. So if I was a person and I had a lot of junk food in my cupboard, let's say, or and the reason I say junk food is because it may not be the best for your body. So in terms of what it means, well, if I have a lot of junk food and I'm eating a lot of junk food, it means that I'm filling a hole. I'm choosing to fill the hole with the junk. So there, it could be an emotional attachment to the junk food. It could be an emotional attachment to the TV. It could be filling a void. So a void that I'm not out in the community, I'm not making the connections, I have my best friends are on TV. So that's the meaning that in my process I found most useful to ask. So what does it really mean that I'm sitting here on the sofa 2 to 3 hours an evening watching TV? What does it really mean that I have, you know, I'm sitting here with a box of chocolates on a Sunday night eating them? What does that really mean? What's behind that curtain?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, and what I found about myself and I found about other people is it's usually filling a void. So then there's the opportunities to clearly identify, well, what is that emptiness?
Yeah, what is that emptiness?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and how do I fill it up with something that's going to support where I want to go? Does that help? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's okay. Good. Thanks.
So I'm going to recap the first three questions and then I'll share the fourth. So the first question is, why do I have this? The second question is, where did I get this? The third question is, what does this mean to me? And the fourth question is, if I didn't have it, how would I feel? And that's where you can do a little bit of visualization. You may laugh at me, John. You may laugh. So you may want to sit on your sofa or your chair and turn the television off and just stare at it.
Yeah.
Then watch your body or listen to your body and see how that makes you feel. For some people, they may feel awkward. They may say, well, this is a silly exercise. They may feel very, very alone and empty. Some people may feel fear, like, oh, my heavens, I have 2 hours. If I can't watch TV, how am I going to be with myself? And you could do the same thing about the food in your fridge, or you could do the same thing about the clothes in your closet. You could do the same thing about the money in your bank account.
Now, I imagine that as you ask that question and you first encounter life without that thing, whatever it is, that you're probably prone to some anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But then I imagine that as you sit with it and you discover how you're feeling about it, then maybe you come to a different understanding of where that feeling of anxiety comes from?
Well, what I did is, as I moved through, and you're absolutely right, you feel awkward and you feel some anxiety, I've always found that doing an action helps channel that energy. So, for example, if I was sitting there and I was staring at the TV, which you're only going to do for a few seconds, and you're feeling awkward, I would anticipate that there is going to be an awkwardness or an uncomfortable feeling. So I would immediately get up and go for a walk, even for 5 minutes in nature. So I'm shifting the energy, and then I would come back again at it. And the funny thing that happened is sometimes you have to do this 3 to 5 times. You start to notice the shift within yourself. you start to notice that maybe the third time you're sitting there and you're not feeling that horrible anxiety feeling or that horrible awkwardness. And then you kind of start to laugh at yourself, laugh at the situation, and your mind starts to say, oh, my heavens, I can't believe that I've, and sometimes people say, wasted 2 hours every night, 7 nights a week. If I took that 14 hours and applied it to embroidery or singing or dancing, how much better would my life be?
Right.
And I think it's really, well, this is my personal experience, and it's really the only thing I can talk to or speak to, is when you're, like, the immersing yourself in the situation and then actioning that energy. So really, what was I doing? I was taking that anxiety or awkwardness and channeling it into an activity that was positive and nourishing and supporting, which was walk in nature, and it could only be for 5 minutes. So I think it's like a 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that feel to you?
I think that's really sound advice. You know, you sit in the presence of your habit that you're trying to break, or the thing that you're trying to understand why it's in your life. And when you contemplate not having it, there's like a void. It was doing something, and if you remove that something from your presence, from your field, you're gonna feel like awkward. And giving yourself the permission and the gift of shifting that, just shaking it up a little bit, like as you say, with a 5-minute walk in nature, and then coming back and contemplating again, you start to see what, you know, how it just kind of has wormed its way into your space and isn't necessarily really serving you. And so that you know, gradually you get more and more free to imagine your life without it. And then you do come to this moment of harvest, which is like, wow, that's a lot of time I've been spending doing that thing, or that's a lot of money I've been spending on that thing. What could I do with that stuff if I hadn't been doing that, if I choose not to in the future? So I think it's really great. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, for the people out there who are listening, I have a default. I love it. I love a process where there's always a place you can let off steam, or there's the door, you could choose door number 3. So if I put myself in this process and I come back and something's not jiving, it just doesn't feel right, I always, or I'm feeling unsure or uncertain, I say to myself, okay, it's all right to move on. We'll just leave that where it is for now, and we'll come back and revisit it again.
Oh, right. So if it's too much, if the hurdle is too high at this particular moment, then you give yourself permission to come back to it later.
Yes. And then I remember my sister, Carol Ann, in Newfoundland, her husband, he said to her, good enough, move on.
Good enough, move on.
Good enough, move on. So that stayed with me, and I would invite people to pay attention to different little phrases that come up from people in their lives, and you might want to tuck them away, because that one, when I heard it maybe a year and a half ago, used in a completely different context, really formed my question number 5. Good enough, move on. And I hear myself saying that, so the phrase is teaching me. So it's kind
excellent.
Of comical. So just to recap, the 5 questions or the 5 points that you might want to consider would be, why do I have this? Where do I get this? What does it mean to me? If I didn't have it, how do I feel? And if you're feeling unsure and uncertain and it feels a little overwhelming, you can always say, good enough, move on. I'm going to tackle this another day.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mildred Lynn. So,
you're welcome.
We have another caller. Why don't we bring this caller in? I was so enchanted by your 5 questions that I haven't screened this caller yet. So we'll get her on the line, him or her on the line, and see what happens.
Beautiful.
Good morning. Caller from 209 area code. You're on the air.
Hi, John.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
So you don't mind if I introduce you?
No, no. Okay. And you need to make a disclosure, too.
Okay, so this is Tommy Lou Caracella. She is my big sister. So thanks for calling in, Tommy Lou.
Oh, you're welcome. It's very interesting.
So how can we help you, or what would you like to talk about today?
Well, okay. You know me, and you know that I and I'm saying this so that your other call listeners can understand that I'm a very scientific person and very rational, and I live in the rational universe. So, and I've never asked you to do this before, but I would like you to do a rune reading for me and see what it tells you, see what it tells us. And if Mildred Lynn has is getting any vibes and she wants to contribute to that, you know, I would be very interested to hear what you both have to say. And I, you know, I'm just sort of, and you know, I don't have any particular crises in my life, but I am always sort of wondering what my direction is, or if I should be directing my talents in other directions, you know. So whatever insights you have from the spiritual side of the universe, I would appreciate hearing them.
Okay, so you're wondering about your direction and how to apply your talents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's, I'm just noting here. Okay, so the runes. You feel like you want to hear from the runes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the question phrased is, what insight can we offer Tommy Lou regarding her life direction and the use of her talents? Okay, so what you're hearing now is the clickety-clack of the runes in, as I roll them from hand to hand. Oh, that's not too overwhelming. Bear with me one more second.
Okay.
Mildred Lynn, are you getting anything for Tommy Lou?
Hello?
Mildred
Lynn,
are you?
Hi, Tommy Lou. Welcome.
Hi.
It's always nice to talk to someone else who has a double name. And a beautiful one at that. I love your name, Tommy Lou Caracella. Yes, as John's doing his working his magic there, what came up for you, for your consideration, is the animal totem alligator.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the animal totems?
Oh, you know, just a little bit. I mean, you know, I've talked to John about it a little bit, and you know, but I haven't really investigated it, so please go ahead.
Well, are you familiar with the how to get a hold of the animal totem description? You can go to Google, and you can type in animal totem alligator.
Okay.
Okay, and basically, the animal kingdom has healing and wisdom and medicine to offer us for our consideration. And if you read the description of the animal totem alligator, you will probably gain some perspective or insight into your life.
Okay.
So the alligator, when I'm looking at your energy and I'm looking at the animal totem alligator, I'm seeing the alligator's eyes just above the waterline, observing, 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 taking everything in and waiting for the right moment to snap.
Okay.
And the alligator also takes his time, and I get male energy, takes his time to digest things.
Uh-huh.
So as you move forward, nature, the animal totems, is encouraging you to take on an aspect of the alligator, to have your eyes just looking out. I can really see it here. It's really comical. Observe what's going on the horizon or within your vantage point, and
mm-hmm.
wait for the right moment to capture your opportunity. Now, if I may, does that make sense to you, or
well, I'm getting the same, you know, strong visual image as you're saying that. I mean, I can really picture an alligator, you know, doing that. So it is interesting.
Yeah, and what I do when I get an animal totem and I read the description, you might read it through, and all parts of it may not resonate with you at this moment. So
uh-huh.
I would simply highlight what makes sense. Now, I bet you if you went and looked at it in 2 months' time, you're going to find something else there that's completely different that will resonate with you. So it's a tool that you can carry along in your tool belt that you can use
okay.
along the happy trail. And the other thing that came up for you, and this is from a Celtic Oracle card that I just, a friend of mine is visiting en route to Argentina, and she has these beautiful Celtic Oracle cards. So I've been playing with them this morning. And what came up for you is the solar wheel. And the key energy vibrations associated with the solar wheel are unity, harmony, and fulfillment.
And fulfillment?
So,
unity.
And fulfillment. Unity, harmony, and fulfillment.
Hmm.
So what I'm going to do is read the perspective of the Celts on the solar wheel, and you can just breathe in and be present as I share this information.
Okay.
Okay. So Tommy Lou, just take a deep breath and close your eyes. And as I shared with our last caller, Carol from Ohio, it sometimes helps to put your hand right on your chest.
Okay.
That's what I do. So you can envision me as I'm reading this. I do have my hand on my chest. So the solar wheel, it represents the sun as a source of life and light and the cycles of the year. To the Celtic people, the sun regulated the pulse of life. It's rising at dawn, setting at dusk, and its passage across the sky. The sun dictated when to reap, when to sow, and when to prepare for winter's cold, and when to rejoice at the coming of the summer's warmth. So as it shows up for you in relation to your question, what it's saying is this: pay attention to the uniting of friends and families and coworkers, and how that can all work together to create synergy to help you obtain your objective. So that's your friends and families and coworkers. And
okay.
from the synergy that creates, those good vibration, carry that positive energy with you as you move forward. And when I was starting to read this, what I said the word shed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that just doesn't happen because Mildred said the wrong word, although, you know, it's not that Mildred says the right words all the time. So what was coming in was an energetic vibration of shedding. So based on that, I would highly encourage you to perhaps use the tool that John and I talked about before we picked up your call to look at what in your life you would like to shed, for lack
uh-huh.
of better words. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what's coming in from me to you in regards to your question. And I think John may have something to share now.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
You're welcome, Tommy.
So, Tommy Lou, there are five runes that appeared for you in this.
Okay.
The first rune is the rune of partnership. Now, I think The one of the things that is an impediment to us in exercising our talents is the feeling that we somehow have to do this, you know, we have to do it as an individual act of achievement or of endeavor. And as I've gone through my life, especially as I've tried to make this transition out of high tech and into this other role, I've come to realize that whenever I isolate myself and expect that I have to do this by myself,
uh-huh.
I artificially constrain the amount of energy at my disposal to do something. And, you know, that makes the activation energy that much higher. It makes it that much harder to actually step into the role and give yourself the freedom to do something.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, this doesn't necessarily ask the answer what your direction is per se, but it does say that as you begin to explore and probe in this area, don't make it an isolated activity. And this sort of piggybacks on what Mildred Lynn shared about the synergy that's available through your colleagues, your coworkers, your friends, and your family. This is not doesn't have to be a solo act. In fact, the runes are encouraging you to explicitly not see it as a solo act. The next rune was the rune of birth or rebirth and growth. You know, one of the things that that happens for parents, but in particular for women, as their kids leave the nest,
mm-hmm.
is, and that you may have heard me mention this to the previous caller.
I did, yeah.
Giving birth one last time to yourself as an adult without children, without those obligations. At this time in your life, because you have the life experience of having raised children and having had a career and so on and so forth, there's a fresh way of seeing who you are and who you can be that exists independent of all the obligations that you've had to carry for all this time. And it really does require a gestation period, which tunes in with a little bit with the alligator totem of, you know, sort of cruising the going with the flow until the opportunity is there.
Uh-huh.
But in order to do that, it requires a specific intention to cultivate something new. Right? It's like, let me go out in the world, let me go out into the river and float around and swim around with the intention of rebirthing myself.
Okay.
So there's a gestation period involved. Then the next rune is the rune of the self. And in particular, the self in relationship to what we would often call the higher self or the capital S self. So the small s self and the capital S self, or the person you are, the person you experience yourself to be versus the person you could be if you shed all of your fears and aligned yourself with your fullest potential. So, you know, there's an exercise that's really worth doing, and that is to say, what would I be if I weren't afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Who would I be? What acts would I take if I weren't afraid of failure? If I weren't afraid of ridicule? If I weren't afraid of disappointing some amorphous being that might be the opinion of society or the opinion of your parents or the opinion of you know, whatever old tapes are running. That higher self, that capital S self, is very rich and very robust. And it's only the way we've diminished ourselves that keep us separate from it. And a lot of times keeps us from perceiving it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an exercise involved in very consciously choosing to examine who we could, the greatest person we could be. And this is not an ego greatness. This is a frank assessment of gifts and talents. If given freedom without judgment, what would they flower into? Well, that's your highest self. So it's imperative that we give ourselves the freedom to do that, to know, our highest self, to become, be in relationship with that highest self, so that we can actually stretch into those, into those places, knowing that there's, that there's a there, right?
Okay.
The next rune is the rune of protection. And this is a complicated rune. People often think about protection as defense. And protection is not defense. Protection is really a good offense. Protection means understanding the consequences of your actions in the context of your surroundings, and being attentive to your surroundings, so that you really don't need defense.
So being proactive.
It's being proactive and sensitive. It's being attuning your senses to your surroundings, so that if you hear something or you feel something, you don't ignore it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you embrace the data that's coming into your life, and you need to embrace the data on many, many levels. You embrace it. You know, it's not just the newspaper. It's not just the news. It's not just the feedback that you're getting to your analytical mind. It's how does your body feel?
Uh-huh.
Right? What colors are you sensitive to today? What music are you trying to listen to? And using that information, blending that information, both the intuitive and the analytical, the intelligence, the capacity to understand where you are in the world and what the world is telling you, goes up several orders of magnitude when you integrate your intuition and your analytics. And that means not throwing any data away.
Okay,
right?
Which I tend to do sometimes.
Well, you know, it's not uncommon. Our nervous system is trained to discard a lot of information, because to make our lives easier, we don't need all that information. But when you're in a place where you're trying to understand, you're trying to make a fundamental shift from your habitual self to this new self, right? This new being that you have the opportunity to rebirth, that's more in conjunction with and aligned with all of the capacities that you have at your disposal, that you need to start being sensitive to a different data set.
Okay.
And the final rune that I got in this sequence is the rune for joy.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, yeah, that's great, because it says two things. The first thing it says is that if you follow this exercise, you will find yourself in a place of great joy. But the second thing that it says is that the path to this fruitful application of your talents and a satisfying resonance with your direction,
uh-huh,
is through joy. It leads through joy. In fact, aligning yourself with what brings you joy is the surest way to find your direction and to exercise your talents. You will find, if you're doing what brings you joy,
uh-huh,
you will find yourself exercising your talents, and you will find yourself going in a direction that's very fulfilling.
Okay, that sounds good. That's encouraging.
So partnership, rebirth, and just, you know, giving yourself time to rebirth yourself, getting to know yourself, examining your surroundings, being sensitive to new stimuli, and not throwing away data that you would typically throw away,
mm-hmm,
and gravitating towards joy.
Okay.
So that's what I would recommend. Now, I did take the liberty of drawing one tarot card for you.
Okay.
And it's the culmination of everything. It's the major arcana card, the World, which basically says, you know, the gift of everything is available to you.
Okay.
So
that sounds great.
Yeah, sounds great to me too, in fact,
yeah.
Because you're my big sister. I really, really want you to follow down this path, because I'm sure that those blessings will also, you know, somehow fall into, you know, towards me.
Okay. Well, thanks, John. It looks like you've got more people who want to have their calls taken. So I appreciate your time and your energy, and from both of you. And, you know, thanks very much.
Well, thank you very much for calling in and for trusting that I wouldn't make you look silly.
Okay.
Thank you, right. Tommy Rose. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, so Mildred Lynn, we do have some other callers. Shall we take one?
Yeah, I would suggest that we do just a little short break.
Okay, so for those of you who are waiting on the line, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Enjoying today's show? Want to share it with a friend? Or maybe you've missed one of our previous programs. Well, you can always find the archives of our past shows on fireflywillows.com/live. Stop by and check out John's previous programs or shows from one of our other hosts, Mildred Lynn McDonald or Heisey Luttmers. Our live call-in shows are available too. And don't miss your chance to call in next week when John and Mildred Lynn will be available to explore your questions with the help of intuition, oracles, and animal totems. Join us.
Zinthius from Jake from California. You're
Hi.
On here.
Oh, hello.
So, how can we help you today?
Well, you know, I've been having some relationship issues with a family member. Maybe you should have specified that it wasn't a love relationship, but it's a family member that I wanted to talk about. And my name is Jake, by the way.
Okay. Welcome, Jake.
Hi.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about what you're experiencing.
Well, it's my grandfather. He's an older man. You know, he's only got a few years left. And I just wanted to kind of, you know, think of what can I do to improve our relationship. He used to, he used to run a large farm with a lot of animals, and I am a farmer myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, you know, what does he not like about me? It really hurts to, you know, it really hurts to talk to him because he can't, you know, he doesn't talk to me like I think he should be talking to me.
Okay. So you work on the farm as well?
No, I have my own farm.
You have your own farm?
Yes, I have my own farm.
And you feel like he doesn't, like you or something?
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't like me, and I want to improve my relationship with him.
Okay. All right, so let's formulate the question here.
Okay.
What insight can we offer Jake in understanding? Well, okay, there's two questions here. One is, why doesn't your grandfather like you? And the other is, how can you improve your relationship with him?
Yeah,
which is
those
more
are my
important?
Two questions.
Okay, which
improving
is more important?
The relationship, improving the relationship with him.
Okay, all right. So what insight can we give to Jake to help him improve the relationship, his relationship with his grandfather? Does that sound like a good question?
Yeah, that sounds like a good question.
Okay. All right, and I'm going to use my Tarot of the She deck for this one. And I think I might actually do a rune pull for you as well.
Okay.
Let's see what happens here. Okay. All right. All right, that's... Okay, well, the first card that comes up here is the Ace of Swords.
Okay, well, what does that mean?
That's in this deck, it's titled The Dreamer. And it's relates to the element of air. It's the primal air card. And how I would how I see this working is, you know, you don't enjoy, your grandfather doesn't enjoy talking to you.
Okay.
Is that true?
That is very true, yeah.
What if you talked to him, if you asked him about his life, and you asked him to share?
I have asked that, and that's, I think, the only time he actually, that's the only time he actually kind of opened up a little bit, and he talked about this great man that he would go to the speeches of, and how he helped that man, you know, try to create a better world, and he, you know, wishes he was back in that world.
Mm. Well, I think, you know, I think talking to him, encouraging him to share with you his dreams for his life, for his children's lives, and for his grandchildren's lives, and his dream, you know, I mean, and once you invite somebody to enter a space where they're sharing their dreams and imagine, you know, their desires for, it might be their desires for the, you know, he might have a political agenda, right? What are your dreams for the nature of the town or the city or the state or the country? You know, you can go anywhere with this, but if you invite him to share his dreams, and gradually and gently you can share your dreams with him in that conversation. You know, as we get into our later stages, right? One of the things that, there's two things that we have. One is we have our memories, and the other is that we have our dreams that we're, in a way, more free to indulge in, because the prospect that we're going to be obligated to do a bunch of, you know, do a bunch of work that will either keep us from our dreams or, you know, exercise into our dreams at the risk of failure goes down a lot, if you know what I mean, right?
I understand what you mean. He'd always talk things like that, about how, you know, this could be so much better if we were all just united under one flag. And there's a lot, he was very into politics.
Yeah, so without judgment, you know, without feeling like you have to correct him or justify the other side of the coin or provide any kind of contrast at all, just invite him to share what's in his dream space.
Yeah,
and
he always calls that dream space his, he calls it my struggle.
Oh, so share, why does he call it my struggle?
I think that he saw what he was doing at the time to be justified, and I think he does not like what happened, you know, what happened during this time that he was in the old times.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, the indication here is that if you create space for him to share his dreams with you, I know what I did with my father as he was winding down. You know, I'd go back home, and you know, there was really no reason for me to go back home. It wasn't like there was a big event. I was kind of like passing through, and I would just sit with him at the kitchen table and create the space for him to share. And
yeah, I have tried, and you know, there's sometimes it's very weird. Sometimes when he'll talk, there'll be, you know, a TV show on, and he'll make a comment about it. Mainly, I think it's Jerry Seinfeld.
Uh huh.
He's always made a comment how much he didn't like that person, and I don't know really how to explain. You know, sometimes he would just flip out at random people for no reason. Kind of like I said, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, so the interesting thing to do there is in that moment, without judgment, so that he and make it clear that, you know, in your tone and in your body language and in everything else, that you're not judging, you're just curious, and let him go.
Yeah, that's what I try.
You know, and I think and make it funny. You know, make it a joyful experience, giving him the space to share his dreams and encouraging him to share his dreams. I think you'll find that you'll make some progress here.
Yeah. He's always reading from this book. I think I know what it's called, but I don't know who wrote it. Hold on. I'm trying to think. Maybe this will help a little bit. He's always talking about these camps, too. What book was it? It started with Mine, but I don't know the rest.
Well, I'm not getting any energy off that. But there are two other cards that I want to share with you here. He's a farmer, right?
Yeah, well, he took care of animals.
Right. Well, one of the things that is that's worth talking to him about is his relationship with the land, right? The card that I'm looking at is the Empress, and the Empress is a card that's all about the fertility and abundance of the land. And so, you know, if he was a career farmer, he probably has a lot of insights and a lot of feelings and a lot of memories.
Yeah, he does.
Wisdom, right?
He always tells me about these smells that he always smells. It's like he talked about, like, you know, the ashy smell when he would be walking around the farm. And I never really understood, like, what that meant.
Well, see, so go back into that space with him and ask him. You know, elders have a lot to share if they feel like their audience has open ears. And one of the challenges of youth is that we judge our elders. And, you know, at his stage in life, the last thing he needs is to be judged by somebody.
I totally agree.
So if you can give him the room to share, you know, and so the topics are his dreams, the Empress, which is his relationship with the land. And the third card is the World, which is sort of the culmination of all possibilities, so that also relates to his sort of his struggle and his aspirations, and his view and his worldview, right? So if you those are three topic areas where if you approach him without judgment, your relationship with him, and you encourage him to be in dialogue with you, your relationship with him will improve.
That's great. You know, it seemed like when I was reading this book, he kind of became distant. I really don't understand why. It's kind of a book we had to read in school when I was about 10 years ago. It was called The Diary of Anne Frank.
Ah, okay. You know, what's your heritage?
German.
Yeah. Do you know what your grandfather's role was in World War II?
I've never even thought about that. I don't know. I really don't. All he said was he took care of animals. He's always said it and kind of slammed his hand, you know, on whatever it was and hurt himself.
Yeah, I think your grandfather has a deep wound. I think your grandfather has a very deep wound that he may struggle to express. And so you might be prepared for some very challenging moments with him, but it's not about you. Okay, this
right.
is not about you. This is
yeah.
about something that happened in his life when he was not sure. When I don't even know how to say this any other way, man. He's got a deep wound relating to World War II and. And
should I try to ask him about this?
No, no.
Okay.
You ask him about his dreams. You ask him about his relationship with the land, and you ask him about his worldview.
Okay.
And you let that unfold, and you make it clear that we're all human. We all have our foibles, and we all struggle to do what's right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Jake, thanks for calling. Thanks for trusting that we can serve you.
Yeah.
Mildred Lynn,
really
before,
opened
Jake,
my eyes.
Jake, before you go, Mildred Lynn, do you have anything you want to share with Jake?
Sure, I do, yeah.
Okay.
First of all, Jake, how wonderful that your grandfather has a grandson like you.
Yeah, thank you.
The first thing I wanted to do was just really acknowledge that. And the second thing that came up, and this may take on a life of its own and trust yourself that you'll know when it's time to talk to him about this, is share with your grandfather what you've learned from him. And share with your grandfather what you love about him and what you will take with you from him on your journey.
Yeah, I think that really opened up my eyes, and that's a really nice way to think of it, because he has helped me a lot through my life.
Yeah, and it will be important to him that you will take this with you, and that's the inspiration that I'm getting to share with you, and that will be meaningful for him, and it will help him as he navigates his way through whatever he is navigating through. It's huge.
Yeah.
When you were mentioning about the word can't, did I hear you correctly when you said there was a book you read and there was something to do with the word can't?
It's mine. The first word I think was mine, but I don't know the second word. He'd always talk about like how it was a struggle. I never really understood what he meant.
Okay. Well, the other part that you could explore is to Google the world that he may have been exposed to in his younger years. And I had the honor of, many years ago, living with a German lady who had gone through, it sounds like, a similar type of circumstance as your dad. And she was asked to write a book on her experiences, and she just would not talk about it. So as John was sharing this particular wound, goes deep into the realm of not being able to pass the fifth chakra or the vocal cords.
Uh-huh.
So that's as John was saying, that's important to understand. And the other thing that came up for me, I went into the Celtic oracle cards and I asked for an oracle card that would help you with this particular situation. And the Hawk came up, H-A-W-K. And the key words are flexibility and mental agility.
You know, that sounds like something that would really help. Because I've always tried to kind of, you know, keep an open mind about what he's talking about. But he just, you know, he seems very closed, you know, very kind of closed about it. And, you know, I just try to accept that.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And that's why the first thing that came into me is how wonderful it is to have someone like you in his life. Now let me read this to you and just take from it, just really listen with your heart, take from it what makes sense from your perspective. So the Hawk, the key words are flexibility and mental agility. Renowned for its speed and superb eyesight, the Hawk symbolizes farsightedness and the ability to fly high. So what that's saying to me is perspective. So that's something you'll be able to bring to this equation. The Hawk recommends that you step back for a moment and gain an overview of the situation. Actions you take and decisions that you will make now will have significant repercussions in the future, so make sure that they are right and fitting. If changes need to be made to plans and projects currently in operation, make them now to save time and effort in the future. It is so important to remain flexible and nimble in this situation. Your future is about to take off, to fly high. Make sure there's no obstacles in your way. So you are so wise to know that this is a key point in your life, as well as a key opportunity for your grandfather. How do you feel about that medicine from the Hawk?
You know, that really opens my mind up. That really sounds good.
Yeah. And is there any part of your body that's reacting?
My chest feels a lot like lighter.
Okay. And what you could do after, whenever it's right for you, is to go to Google and type in animal totem Hawk and read through the description and note or highlight what makes sense to you, what you feel. And it will give you a perspective that will help you move forward and navigate your way through the situation. And the two takeaways to really play with in the context of the Hawk is what you've learned from your grandfather, why you love him, and actually it's three, and what you will carry with you on your journey, the gifts that he has given you.
You know, one of the things he'd always say to me, and I is something that kind of I took to heart, and he said, you know, I do not see why men should be, you know, should not be as cruel as nature. And to me, that kind of thinks, you know, that that everyone, you know, can be cruel, but we don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that really I've taken through my life.
Yeah, and reflect that back to him. And I'm sure there's other things he said to you, and that you'll be... So for me, it's almost like you have a knapsack on your back. That's what I'm seeing. And you have these words of wisdom from your grandfather that you are able to carry in this knapsack. So the key vibration is carrying them forward, because my sense is, on a certain level, he may be going through a phase where he's feeling that there may have been wrong turns or different decisions could have been made, and maybe the struggle is, what if, what if, what if? So yeah. The beauty out of, or the gift out of that particular situation is you're showing him that all is not lost.
Right, and that you're willing to take wisdom without judgment. And that doesn't mean that you have to apply it in the way that he applied it, or that you have to live your life in the way that he lived it, but that you can, that you're willing to be, to receive the wisdom of his elderhood.
Okay.
Yeah. You're a wonderful person.
Yeah, Jay, keep at it, man.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, Mildred Lynn, we have another caller, and this is Don from Connecticut, and he has a relationship question. So let me bring him in. Don, are you there?
Yeah, what's good, man?
All right, so Don, you've got John and Mildred Lynn here for you. Why don't you give us a little insight on the nature of your question?
I've been looking for a relationship, a long-lasting one, for a while now, and I just don't know what to do, man. My longest relationship was 3 weeks. That's throughout my life, you know. I'm going on 25, you know.
Okay. And what are you looking for in a relationship?
Just love, man. Just love.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, let's...
Wait. Nah, I want to change that. Love, and preferably a white woman, you know.
Preferably a white woman.
Yeah, with blonde hair.
With blonde hair. So there's an aesthetic, there's a beauty that you're looking for, too.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if that's shallow of me, but, you know,
well,
we all got
I think these things are... these things are reflections of something, right? So if you ask yourself, what is it about a blonde white woman that is appealing to you? Now, obviously, of course, you're going to find that she's physically going to be appealing, but there's something more to it than that, because there's beauty in every shape and size of a woman.
Maybe it's the fact that my mama, she black, and she always told me that the white people was bad. So I in a way, I kind of want to prove it wrong. I love me the white women, you know.
Well, so just let me sit with this for a second, because I think there's something coming to me that's independent of the cards and the runes.
Right.
Is there a kind of a freedom that you feel you would experience in?
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that back then it wasn't loud, you know? So it's like, maybe that's part of it. My grandpa was unable to, you know, to be with a white woman.
Right.
He said
right.
He wished he could, though.
Right. So one of the things that I think is important in this search of yours.
Right.
I do feel like this is important in general. When people are looking for love, they're looking to experience a relationship that's very fully satisfying to them, is to to be unattached to the nature or the way that the love shows up.
Well, normally, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but well, normally I walk down the street and look for the biggest thighs that I can see, you know.
Well, here, what I'm thinking here is, you know, there's a reason why you look for the biggest thighs that you can see, right? What is that?
I like
feeling?
Fat butt.
Well, but what is it? What is the feeling? So it's one thing to say you like it.
It's you know how they say there's two types of men. There's a breast sort of man, and then there's a booty sort of man, and I'm a booty warrior.
Okay, so allow that to be the case, and ask yourself, just sit into this, you know, sort of settle into the place where you're totally okay with that, right? You're okay with finding that attractive, and what is about that? What feeling? What kind of comfort do you get?
It's just lust. Maybe it's not feelings at all. Maybe it's just that I lust it.
Well, maybe. But you could lust for a lot of things, right? Why do you lust?
Like food, like watermelons and shit, yeah.
Right. So since there's many ways for you to there's many places where lust can find itself fruitful ground, so to speak.
Right.
There's a reason you're attracted in the direction you're attracted, and understanding yourself. See, this is what it comes down to.
That's the hard part, though, because like, even though I live alone, I barely know myself. I don't want some of the decisions I make, I just don't understand. Sometimes it's just sporadic, you know.
Right.
I just do things.
Right. So your challenge is going to be right there, and that's one of the reasons why your relationships have been so short, is because if you don't know yourself, you will typically struggle to present yourself in a relationship with someone else in a way that's understandable and predictable for that other person. You know, being in relationship with someone, think about it from their perspective. They're trying to have an experience with someone, and that someone happens to be you. But but the someone that they're trying to have an experience with isn't a very well-defined character, because he doesn't know himself.
Right.
So it's really, really important for you to find more about yourself. And part of that is and this is really a very practical thing to do, is to understand the nature of the feelings that you feel or that you want to feel when you are with a woman. What are the feelings you want to feel?
We all have the
physical feelings that we want to feel, but you can feel those feelings with any woman, right?
Right.
So it's more than that.
It's the love.
Right, and so understanding, you know, why you're attracted to the things you're attracted to, and what pulls you in those directions is really not an exercise in looking outside yourself. It's an exercise in looking inside yourself.
Right. Well, this is how I normally go about it. I mean, I don't know. I was going to school for 4 years, you know, that college, you know. I'm in the process of going next year, finishing up, you know. But what I normally would do, I would just stare at them.
Okay.
I would just stare into their eyes deeply.
Sometimes
they'd be like, Nick, what you looking at? And I'd be like, damn, chill, baby. It's all good. It's all love.
Well, you have to remember that they don't know you.
Right. But I looked up on the internet, it said how to pick up a woman. You gotta stare at them.
No,
that's not how you do it.
No, that's not how you do it. your first challenge is to let go of the idea that you're trying to pick up a woman.
Right.
Because if you're trying to pick up a woman,
like they're one of my boys, you know, because I talk to my boys all day long, man. That's the easiest thing, the easiest part of the day. I got to talk to them like that. But then again, what if they don't like that, though?
Hey, man, you know, there's a lot of room in here for you to make very rapid progress. First, You're not trying to pick them up. You're trying to create a friendship.
A friendship. But they say that the friend zone is the worst place to be.
No, that's a bunch of nonsense, right? Because you there's – how old are you, 25?
Yeah.
You have plenty of adventure in you, okay? There's no reason you can't have adventure with a woman and have her
right.
find you to be attractive, even if you are starting out as her friend.
You know what else is, I think that puts them off a little bit? I sag my pants to like basically my boxers show. And then if someone get it messed up, I mess them up. You know what I mean?
Well, there's an anxiety and a kind of a tension in you that's going to carry, right? And people are going to feel that. The most important thing.
I should dress proper. That's what you want to tell me.
Well, here's what I want to say. You should dress in a way that is not what somebody else thinks. That's not the way somebody else thinks you should dress. This requires that you get to know yourself. Because whether you're wearing baggies or whether you're dressing in a suit, why are you doing that?
I was thinking about switching over to skinny jeans, but a lot of people telling me that them's the nut huggers, so I don't want to be a part of that. But then again, it looked kind of fresh. You know what I mean? I think the girls like that.
Don't worry about what the girls like.
Got to worry about what I want.
Figure out who you are. Figure out who you are. There's no risk in figuring out who you are. In fact, the card that I drew for you is it's actually a great card, and I don't want you to get turned off by the name. It's called The Fool, right? And The Fool is the very first card in the tarot. It's the first card, and it's all about allowing yourself to be who you are and not worrying that the world is going to reject you.
Right.
Just figure out who you are and what you love in your heart. You know what? You will feel this in your stomach, in your gut, and in your heart. When you're doing what feels right to you, you'll feel it. There's no pressure. At that moment, there's no pressure. There's no anxiety.
Because I've
no
been struggling this for a while now. I've been trying to find myself. And it's very hard for me, you know.
Sing. Sing to yourself. Well, sing in the shower. Just and I mean
what
sing.
What you mean, like singing that song,
I mean,
with the high pitches and all that? That's what you mean?
Yeah, whatever's going to make you. You know what?
Man, you know who's a good singer? Frank Ocean. Yeah, I like
figure
that.
Out where you're, what makes you feel good. Figure out what makes you feel like you're soaring, like you're a bird flying in the sky, like you are a dancer.
Oh. I like,
at a Mardi
I like
Gras
that
parade.
That funk, you ever heard of them?
No, I don't.
Techno house status music, you know. I that makes me feel like I'm sore. Maybe I'm one of them.
Maybe.
One of them.
Maybe. Don't get attached too soon to anything, because I think you're going to find a lot of different ways of expressing yourself and of discovering yourself, and you're going to go through a lot of phases, right? You're going to go through a lot of terrain. You know, and this getting to know yourself is really important. And once you give yourself to getting to know yourself, you're going to find out, here's what happens. You get to know yourself. You start doing the things that you actually love to do. And you find yourself in the presence.
Man, you don't want to talk about that, man. Because I'd be up in my room all day long just fapping away, you know. I don't want to do that no more. That's why I'm trying to find a woman.
That's not the same thing.
Right.
It's not the same thing.
But it's like loving yourself, basically.
It's like, you know, maybe you like to paint. Maybe you like to ride bikes.
I love painting, man. I usually paint portraits of, like, random women that I see. Like if I see a girl on the street, I just take out my sketchbook and start drawing.
Right. And as long as you're respectful, right, and you don't make it difficult for other people, for you to be you, then you're going to be fine. And when you start being you, you're going to find yourself surrounded by other people who, in being themselves, want to be in the places where you are.
Right, right. Hey,
right?
What's the next card?
Next card is the card of justice, which really is the card of balance.
Right.
And this means
–
This means not overindulging. This means being aware of the consequences of your actions. It means being clear. So here's where you got to stay away from drugs and alcohol and tobacco.
Right.
And eat
man,
right.
Man, alcohol, like, that's a hard thing to do, man.
Well,
that'd be making me feel happy as hell, man.
That's, you know why?
40 okay. mouth liquor.
Listen,
yeah,
if you're using alcohol to make you feel happy, it's because without alcohol, you don't feel happy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, you better figure out why you don't feel happy, because using alcohol to make you feel happy is just covering up the things that don't that where you don't feel happy. So that doesn't that's not a solution, right? That's a fake.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And the third card that I got for you is the Warrior, which is all
I'm
about
worried.
Yeah, no, so I want to be clear about this. This isn't about fighting. This is about self-discipline and applying your energies in a productive way.
Yeah,
the warrior is pure and clean.
Hey, man, I think you're saying that because I'm black.
No. Most people don't understand the warrior. They think the warrior is about fighting. Think of a Native American warrior. Think of a Native American guy, right?
Yeah, fight to keep his family fed. That's what he do. He fights bears and shit, right?
Well, he is pure. And when he's called upon to fight, he's ready.
Ready. All
right. Right?
I get that.
You know, it's the true warrior is constantly working on the challenges in himself.
Right.
And he only turns to the other, you know, and acts as a warrior to the other in war very rarely.
Right.
It's always about internal alignment. And, you know, there's a great book. You know what? Go get this book. It's probably in the library or a local bookstore. It's called The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. All right, what's that?
It's a fantastic book. It's about a gymnast, actually, who was out here in California, University of California, Berkeley. And he went through the warrior's training that I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And it's an amazing book. It'll change your life.
All right, I'm gonna look that up.
Okay.
Think I can get it for free though?
You can probably get it at the library. You can take it out of the library. Or a used bookstore. Mildred Lynn, do you have anything you want to share with Don?
Thank you though. Jared. Hello. All right.
No, I'm here with you. Mildred Lynn has dropped off for the moment. So. Will that do for you for today? Because I want to get to some other callers.
Yeah, that'll do, man. Thank you
all
very
right.
much. I love
Good luck, man.
By the way. Yeah, thank
right.
you. Thank you.
Have bye. Fun. All right, bye. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller, and this is Rory from the UK. Hang on while I bring him on. Rory?
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to, like, get to grips with how this works.
Okay. So what'll happen is if you share with us a little bit of background of the nature of your question, Mildred Lynn and I will consult our divinatory tools. I use the runes and a tarot deck as well, among some other things. And Mildred uses a variety of tools, including her intuition and angel cards and stuff like that. Does that help?
Yeah, I've got a few questions, well, two really, two main questions, but one of them's slightly more serious than the other, but the second one I care about more. The first question
is... Rory, bear with me 1 second. We are running out of streaming time on our on-air session, so we'll be able to take your call, but I need to just run one short announcement, and then we'll be back to you, okay?
All right.
Enjoying today's show? Want to share it with a friend? Or maybe you've missed one of our previous programs. Well, you can always find the archives of our past shows on fireflywillows.com/live. Stop by and check out John's previous programs or shows from one of our other hosts, Mildred Lynn McDonald or Heisey Lutmers. Our live call-in shows are available too. And don't miss your chance to call in next week when John and Mildred Lynn will be available to explore your questions with the help of intuition, oracles, and animal totems. Join us.
Okay, Rory, we're back. Mildred Lynn, unfortunately, because we're out of time, is going to have to step aside. So I'll work with you, though.
All right. Well, my two questions are, firstly, my aunt, B, she's got a terrible cancer, and it's just horrific. It's growing everywhere, and we don't know if she's going to make it. And it's a new type of cancer, not new, but it's extremely rare. It's known as 9-GAG, and it's just spread everywhere. And we don't know if she's going to make it. I'm just wondering if you have any ideas on that. And secondly, I've got some relationship issues that I'd like to have sorted out.
Okay. So let's start with your Aunt B. What insight can you share with us regarding Rory's Aunt B and her illness? So now, one of the things that that is always easier to do is to ask about you as opposed to someone else, because really the alignment is best because it's you who are speaking, unless you have their permission. It's a little bit more difficult to get information from the spiritual domain when it's sort of a couple of steps removed. But here's what I've got for your grandmother, or for your aunt.
Aunt.
Well, it looks like what I can suggest to you is that you manage the amount of effort that goes into this for yourself and for her. It will be very challenging, as you're probably aware. I'm not telling you anything new. It'd be very challenging to overcome this. The card is titled Effort Sustained, and it's reversed, which suggests that it's going to require an extraordinary effort to overcome this situation. The other thing, the next card is called the Gift of Telling, and this is really about, I think, relates to your aunt in the sense that there's an opportunity for you to share with her. Give yourself and her the privilege of sharing time and telling stories. And, you know, this may sound a little bit like a cliche, but it's not. There's great power in sharing stories. There's healing power in sharing stories. And if you encourage your aunt to share her stories about her life and about her ups and downs and her challenges and her sorrows, this is, in a way, a kind of cleansing that can happen in the body. The body stores all kinds of tensions and anxieties and energetic patterns that have not been able to be expressed out. So they get stuck in the body. And very often, these kind of, you know, if something has been chronically sad or chronically painful in someone's life, it can manifest itself in cancer. Conflict that's been long-standing can manifest itself as cancer. So giving your aunt the opportunity to express herself and encouraging her to tell these stories in as fully colored a way as possible, as dramatically as possible, as dramatically as she can be comfortable doing, and over time she'll get more and more comfortable with it, can be a very healing exercise. And the third card that I got is the Dancer, which is a water. It's the Ace of Cups, which is the element water. And what I see here for your aunt is that she would benefit from releasing her sense of the need to control. You know, the water element is all about flowing. It's all about seeking stillness in the flow, right? It's the water doesn't flow uphill, and it doesn't resist flowing downhill. And yeah. it seeks a low level, and you know, a still lake in the morning is in many ways just as much the nature of water as a flowing river. So there's a mutability and a flexibility in water that is extraordinary, and I sense that maybe your aunt has some trouble with this. Does
so
this make sense to you?
Yeah, a bit, yeah. But I mean, I don't think there's much left that would really, because it's in such a late stage, you see. But I was just wondering if you could see like how it's going. But I wasn't expecting anything drastic.
Yeah, well, I don't expect anything drastic either. But at the very least, you can release some of the stored tension that exists in your aunt. You know, it's hard to say, and it's you know, wouldn't be right for me to say one way or the other whether your aunt was going to survive or not. That's really not the domain of this kind of divination, but. There are things that you can do to make her experience, to bring a different kind of peace and flexibility to her experience.
Yeah.
Okay, and you had another question?
Yeah, I just wanted to get a reading on myself.
Alrighty. Give me something to work with. What else do you need?
So, question?
Yeah.
I guess relationships.
So are you in one? Do you seek one?
In between, I guess.
Okay, so you're what insight can we give to Rory on his prospects for a relationship? Is that what you're looking for? Prospects?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see. Do you feel ready for a relationship?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I am.
And what, so how old are you?
17.
17. Okay, so the card that I got, the first card I got for you is Warrior 9, and it shows a powerful being with a very dramatic set of wings wrapped around itself and radiating power into the night. And so there's a certain aspect of protection involved here, that those wings are protecting this being. They're part of this being's power, and that protection is available to be shared with others. So it's not just for self-protection, but someone can be embraced by the power of these wings. And the title on the card is Guardian. So I what I see from this is that you have the potential to be in a period of personal preparation, right? This is preparing yourself for a relationship by understanding where your energy is, where your power is, and gathering it to yourself, gathering your energies, gathering your attitudes, clarifying your perspectives, not so much being needy and more being ready. And I think, you know, there's an element of anticipation associated with this card, you know, as if something is pregnant, as if something is waiting. But it's also relates to a need for being grounded and capable of handling the power that that you have at your disposal to bring to bear in a relationship. So you could see this as you have the potential to be a guardian in a relationship. You have the potential to be a protector in a relationship. And if you're you know, the age that you are, it's appealing, in all likelihood will be appealing to a woman to be in a place that's protective, right? That doesn't mean it has to be boring. It doesn't mean it has to be so safe that it's boring. But it does mean that there's a role for you to play in being a protector for a potential girlfriend. And the other card that I received is, on your behalf, is the Warrior Queen. So these are two warrior cards. These are spirit cards. They're fire, right? So there's a lot of energy and activity associated with this, which isn't surprising for a 17-year-old guy to have a lot of energy associated with with relationship. But this card is reversed, right? So so we'll talk about that in a second. So the title of this card is The Gift of Charm. And what it speaks to is the charisma, the dynamism of being compelling and dramatic and exciting, stimulating. And I sense from this reversal that you have that in you, but you don't let it out.
So what do I have that I don't let out?
A dramatic flair.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense to you?
Like somewhat.
Are you, you know, in a sense, do you not do what you feel you want to do because you're afraid people will think it's silly or absurd?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the recommendation here is to not keep that exciting side of yourself under wraps, because that's part of what will make you attractive.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Surprisingly, it makes quite a lot.
Okay. So that's, you know, in terms of, you know, an upcoming relationship, gather yourself together. Realize that it's important for a relationship in which you are going to engage, that there be a protected space for that relationship to occur. And that's interpersonally. I'm not talking about physically, geographically, that it needs to be in a safe place, but that if it's safe, then your relationship partner can afford to be vulnerable. And that's a very rich place to be in a relationship, when you can be vulnerable with one another. But in order for that to be the case, it has to feel safe. And in order for it to feel safe, there is a role for you to play in creating that protected space. And then be yourself. Be your flamboyant self in that protected space. Right? In fact, be your flamboyant self pretty much wherever you are. And that will be part of what makes you attractive.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I think that's it for us here at Firefly Willows LIBE. We've run a little long, but it should all be available in the archive. And we welcome you to join us next week. So thanks again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please join us next week when our host, Mildred Lynn McDonald, will take you on a fascinating tour of the mind-body-spirit connection through a combination of healing conversations, hands-on personal growth tools, and a generous sprinkling of East Coast humor and warmth. Mildred Lynn will speak with Nicole Moen of Vancouver, British Columbia, the creative force behind Living the New Economy, and with Carol Teleski of Eureka, California, artist, teacher, and an inspiration for living life to the fullest. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Firefly Willows LIVE, Blog Talk Radio.